Good morning, everybody. It's lovely to see you all this morning. Just a few notices before we start today's worship. Building Blocks returns after the summer break tomorrow morning here in the chapel, and prayer meeting is here on Tuesday morning at 10:30. Everybody is welcome. Next Sunday sees our harvest service. Simon is leading us in worship. Just a reminder that we are collecting items for the food bank, and there is a monetary gift to Tear Fund. There are letters in the meeting room for those of you that haven't seen them, with a list of produce that is required and more information about Tear Fund. And I've put some white envelopes in the meeting room today for your financial gifts. There's also letters in the meeting room about Nick, who's now started with us as minister in training as of Thursday, which is fantastic. His contact details are on that letter, his new phone number and email address, so if you haven't picked it up already, please can I encourage you to do so. This evening we have an evening service in the building only, sorry Zoomers, it's at 6 o'clock here. Reverend Philip Staves is leading us in our communion service, and the notice sheets will be out next week. And the last one is next week, is your last week to get your stamps for BMS to Jane, please. And I will now hand over to David, who's going to lead us in worship. Thank you, David.
Scripture encourages us to praise God, to sing a new song, a song of God's goodness and mercy, faithfulness and love. For God delights in his people. Crowns them with honour and with glory. We come together now to worship him. We join together with two lovely modern songs, The Splendour of the King and then Praise is Rising. Thank you.
How great, 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 how great,
into the praise of a great and wonderful God, the God that we have and know. It fills me with praise, and my praise is ever rising. Thank you. We come to God in prayer. I'll just let the music group settle. Let us pray. Without a doubt, our God is great and worthy of praise. God's goodness knows no limit. God's faithfulness towards us is boundless. Almighty God, your majesty and glory surround us here this morning. We've come together to celebrate your presence and to offer songs of praise and worship. We've come to rejoice in your mighty acts and to retell the story of your goodness throughout history and in our own lives. Help us to remember that you are at once infinite, boundless, timeless and eternal, but at the same time intimately entwined with us and our lives. You are here, you are with us, wherever, whatever. And yet, Father, there are times when we forget that. So when we've forgotten you, have mercy on us. When we fail to speak words of love, forgive us. Have mercy on us. When we've neglected the needs of others, forgive us and have mercy on us. Move among us now as we worship together. May your Spirit guide us and inspire us, our thoughts and our actions, as we spend time in your presence this morning. And as we do so, we remember especially those of our families, our friends, our church, our neighbourhood and our world who are in great need at this time, who need to know you as we do, trust you and love you and know your presence in their lives. We pray you'll bless them as you bless us. For we bring this prayer. We bring this prayer to you now in the name of our Saviour and Lord Jesus Christ, who gave us the privilege of prayer and the prayer that we say together now. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. It's time now for the young people to leave us. You're not going on a long journey, it's just into the room at the back. But I know you're going to have a great time, and I look forward to seeing you and baby later. Super. Our worship continues with a reading from the Old Testament, which Annalisa is going to share with us. Thank you.
Our reading today is from Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 to 18. Joshua installed as leader. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the river Jordan into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now you will cross the Jordan. here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. But to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the command that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you after he said, the Lord your God will give you rest by giving you this land. Your wives, your children, and your livestock may stay in the land that Moses gave you to the east of the Jordan. But all your fighting men, ready for battle, must cross over ahead of your fellow Israelites. You are to help them until the Lord gives them rest, as he has done for you, and until they too have taken possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving them. After that, you may go back and occupy your own land, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you east of the Jordan towards the sunrise. Then they answered Joshua, whatever you have commanded us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you, as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey it, whatever you may command them, will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous.
I'm not too sure whether I can tell this story. I just check first. Have I got any policemen or policewomen in the congregation? Oh, retired. Oh, that's allowed. Retired. You'll like this. Yeah, you'll like this. Because it's a story about police cadets. They used to be around, didn't they, years ago? And story goes that some time ago, that these police cadets were given a test paper to determine their skills and abilities. And this would help the senior police officers to place them in the right place. And apparently the paper went a bit like this. You are walking down a village street and you hear the honking of a horn. You turn round and see a lorry laden with petrol charging down the hill out of control. At the crossroads, it collides with a milk float and an almighty explosion takes place. And the driver of the milk float is hurled through the windscreen and over a wall, whilst the driver of the petrol lorry is trapped in his cab. You are about to radio for help when you hear a cry. You run across the road, picking your way through the broken glass and flaming tarmac. The man from the milk float is drowning in the canal. He can't swim. You're just about to radio for help when you hear another cry. It's a lady about to give birth to her child. The explosion has brought on the birth, but she's trapped in her home. The door's stuck and she's got no phone. She's in need of immediate medical help. You're just about to radio for help when you hear a noise. You look behind you and there's a group of men, drunk, staggering across the road, laughing at the whole affair. In this situation, what would you do? One police cadet wrote, remove uniform and mingle with crowd. Be strong and courageous. That was the theme of the Old Testament lesson. Be strong and courageous. Winston Churchill once said that courage is the finest of human qualities because it guarantees all others. And it does, doesn't it? Joshua, son of Nun, called by God, singled out to lead the people of God in Canaan, the promised land. Such a special role in the life of God's people. Enough to terrify anyone, let alone Joshua. Anyway, how could anyone follow in his footsteps? You know, Moses. But Joshua was called, and he was told by God to be courageous, to be determined and confident. And so he was. He was confident to do all this, to go forward wherever, whatever, simply because he knew God was with him. I can't help it, but I wonder sometimes, as no doubt you do, just what it is that's going to require determination and confidence on our part as we go through life as Christians today. What's God going to require of us, of you, of me? Have we got the boldness to accept the challenge when it comes? Are we good enough? Will we be able to do it? Of course we have. Of course we are. Of course we can. We can do anything with God by our side. We're going to sing again now. Brian's going to, hopefully, going to come and play the organ. And this is one of those old hymns that you've come to expect when I'm taking a service. It says, Church of God, that's us. Church of God, elect and glorious, holy nation, chosen race, called as God's own special people, royal priests and heirs of grace. Thanks, Brian. Thank you. Please be seated. We turn to the New Testament now, and a reading from the book to the Hebrews, and Andrew's going to read for us. Thank you.
Hebrews chapter 13, verses 7 to 21. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. It is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by eating ceremonial foods, which is of no benefit to those who do so. We have an altar from which those who minister at the tabernacle have no right to eat. The high priest carries the blood of animals into the most holy place as a sin offering, but the bodies are burned outside the camp. And so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood. Let us then go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore. For here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who will give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. Pray for us. We are sure that we have a clear conscience and desire to live honourably in every way. I particularly urge you to pray so that I may be restored to you soon. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. This next hymn needs no introduction. There's no sleeping for Noah, I'm afraid, this morning, because this says, who is on the Lord's side? Who will serve the King? Who will be his helpers? Other lives to bring. We'll stand and sing together. Thank you. Please be seated. The whole topic of leadership and leaders is very appropriate at the moment, isn't it? For all of us. I mean, for one thing, it's September. And in my book, that has always heralded the start of the church year. It's also the start of the academic year in schools and colleges, including Baptist colleges such as Regent's in Oxford. And this September is going to be particularly important for Nick and Dawn as they start out on this first step towards ministry, as well as us as the members of this church as we support them. It really is an important time for all of us. As we set Nick and Dawn apart for future service and seek God's blessing for them in the days ahead, I think it's right and proper that we think about ourselves and our role in all this. Because the hows and the whys are so important. I mean, we look to God for guidance, and we look to others for the qualities that will set them apart as future leaders in our fellowship and our church. So what is it that makes for a good leader or minister in the church today? Well, before we look any further, let's take another look at Joshua, son of Nun. Now, Joshua really was an amazing sort of man. He was probably one of the best leaders the nation of Israel has ever had. I've picked out some of the qualities that I think made him so good, and in many ways qualities that even now we would do well to imitate. First of all, and strange as it might seem, Joshua was humble. Now, you don't usually associate being humble with being a good leader, do you? I mean, old Winston Churchill, who I've mentioned before, was a good leader, one of the best, in fact. But he was far from humble. And anyway, how were you supposed to handle humility in this day and age? Perhaps it's a bit like the two men who died and were waiting at the pearly gates for admission into heaven, when one of them heard St. Peter call out, "Sorry, chaps, but we've only got room for one more. Which one of you is the most humble?" What would you say? I don't know what I'd say. In our first reading this morning, we heard how Joshua was told to get hold of certain qualities, qualities that would set him apart, things that he'd need if he was going to be God's man for that time. He was told to be determined and confident. Now think about it. If he had to be told to be determined and confident, that probably means he wasn't. I mean, I think Joshua was a very humble man, a man who didn't usually go around blowing his own trumpet, a man who was a bit unsure of himself, a man who didn't have all the answers, and he never pretended that he did. Joshua was a man who needed the help and the advice of those around him, and he wasn't afraid to ask for it either. For years and years, Joshua had been the faithful sidekick of Moses. He was a man more used to taking orders rather than giving them. Not that there's anything wrong in that. As someone once said, it takes more grace than I can tell to play the second fiddle well. And it does if ever you've played in an orchestra, I can tell you. Joshua, he was humble. But he was also obedient. And it's not always easy to be obedient, especially when you're in charge. It's very easy to say one thing and do another. You know, do what I say, not what I do syndrome. But not only did Joshua prepare to take the Israelites across the River Jordan, just as God had told him to, but he made sure that the Bible, or at least parts of it that were written then, were read, so that everyone else knew how to be obedient too. That's the point. And forgive me if I'm being a bit simplistic, but, you know, the message of the Bible through and through is that if we want to experience God's blessings, we must obey his word. And you know what? The only way to know his word is to read it. Mind you, I think the trouble for most of us with this is the trouble Mark Twain had with reading the Bible. Because he said, it's not the bits that we don't understand that trouble us. It's the bits we do. Humble, obedient, and courageous. Now, in most Bible translations, instead of Joshua being told to be confident, as he is in the NIV, he's told to be courageous. Why? Well, it's obvious, really. Later on in the story, we hear of another of those miraculous events that happens so often in this part of the Bible. The River Jordan parted so that people could walk through on dry land. It's mind-boggling. It must have taken an enormous amount of courage to be part of that experience, even to urge the people into the water, let alone actually do it. Fear is a great barrier, isn't it, to doing anything. We're frightened. We're frightened of the demands or the possible outcome of this or that. The story goes, it's another story, but the story goes that a few years ago, a good many years ago, a prison warder told a condemned man that he could order whatever he wanted for his last meal. He even offered suggestions. Lobster, filet mignon, beef Wellington, caviar, shrimp, smoked salmon. No, I don't think so, the prisoner said. I think I'd just like a plate of jellied eels. Jellied eels? Why jellied eels? The warder asked him. Well, the condemned man said, I've always been a bit afraid to eat them before now. Come on, think about it. Afraid? Not Joshua. First and foremost, Joshua was a man of faith. Faith in God, in his word and in his power. But the real reason he told his officers to prepare to cross the Jordan was because he trusted that the Lord had the power to carry out what he promised. And that's true, isn't it? That's the reason why we do anything. Well, why we do anything for God, at any rate. Simply because we trust him. We believe we will be all right. We believe that God will carry us through. We believe that his power and his promise will prevail. But let's remember, there are always two sides to every coin. If we need leaders, as we do, then we've got to have people. And people need leaders, and leaders need people. It's a mutual need and support system, this, and by and large, it works. When all said and done, and for all the teaching in the Bible, for all that's aimed at leaders. Let's not forget that following is just as important. And if you're in any doubt, read Hebrews chapter 13 again when you get home. Because whether we are called to lead or to follow, this man Joshua had got it right. Let me remind you again of his qualities. He was humble, he was obedient, he was courageous, and he was trustful. And that should be true for us. Whether we're a Sunday school teacher, a worship leader, a home group leader, a musician, a deacon, a member of the congregation, even a minister. There's an old hymn that sums this up very nicely. I was tempted to sing it, because in so many ways it holds the secret to successful leadership. You all know it. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Listen, don't run away with the wrong idea this morning. These words of mine are not just addressed to Nick and Dawn Cook. These words are addressed to you, each and every one of you. And what I say this morning, I say to all, if God is calling you to serve him, don't be frightened. Don't run away from it. Because, believe me, there's no escape from it anyway. Remember Joshua, the gifts and the graces that he had. All that he had, he put at the disposal of God. His humbleness, his obedience, his courage, and his trust. As I understand it, these are things that we all possess. And I believe God can use any of us just as he used him. All we've got to do is let him. So this morning, make yourselves available. It's a new year. Make yourself available with confidence and with determination. With God by your side, be the person and do the things he wants you to be and do in the life of his church and in the life of his world. I ask it of all of you in the name of Jesus. I felt as I was preparing this service that it was right and proper that we confirmed Nick and Dawn's call to ministry as a church. It was lovely earlier when you applauded. I thought that was a lovely gesture. And these are the sort of things that really I would expect to happen here at Desborough Baptist Church. But there's one thing we need to do. We need to set them apart with the laying on of hands and prayer. And I spoke to Annalisa about this last week. And Annalisa has asked four people, including herself, to come forward and to lay hands on Nick and Dawn and as we pray for them. She's asked Chris and Andrew, because these are the two longest serving deacons that have served with Nick and Dawn over the years. And she's asked Graham, who's at the moment still his best friend. And ministry changes all, and no it doesn't. And so I'm going to ask you, four people, to surround Nick and Dawn, and the little one as well, to surround Nick and Dawn, to lay hands on them, and we can share this prayer together. Almighty God, loving Heavenly Father, we come now to ask your blessing on Nick and Dawn as they seek to fulfil your calling and set out in the work of ministry. We ask that they might know the presence and the power of your Holy Spirit, that you'll refresh them even now and refill them with that Spirit, that you'll remain with them, that you'll guide them and direct them, especially in these early days, that you'll keep them faithful in times of testing, that you'll keep them humble in times of success, and keep them ever joyful in your service. Bless them, and bless us now, for we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord and Saviour of us all. Amen. And all the people said,
Amen.
Thank you. Bless you. Thank you, folks. Lovely. I know times have changed. This happens. Well, it's happened. I was going to say it's happened to me and Beth. It didn't. Because in those dim and distant days, only the minister was recognised, not his wife, unfortunately. And so I'm sorry about that, sweetheart. But that's how it was. And but from that time onwards, when we were set apart for service and for ministry, one hymn has remained with me, with us. It's followed us round wherever we've been, down to college, out of college, into this church, from that church, into another church, till we find ourselves here this morning. And it's just as important now as it was then. Christ of the upward way. My, oh, excuse me. Christ of the upward way, my guide divine, where thou hast set thy feet, may I place mine, and move and march wherever thou hast trod, keeping face forward up the hill of God. It's a great hymn. We'll sing it together now.
Thank you.
I want to finish the service as we can only finish it in Desborough, by joining hands and by saying the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.